You know the situation when you've prepared a sumptuous meal with three types of potato and 16 types of veg, and you present it to the people you're cooking for, and they just grunt thanks and start to eat it and just tuck in without comment, apart from the thanks. That makes you a little bit upset, doesn't it? You've gone to all that trouble. There's loads on the plate. And because there's loads on the plate, it's rather overfacing, and people just want to get stuck into eating it all. Until you stab them in the face with a fork, of course. Not that I'm saying you should do that, but, you know, that kind of thing might ensue. Well, that's like NXT this week. Not being stabbed in the fork by in the face by a fork, or in the fork by a face. Being stabbed in the fork by a face. How would that work? You'd be moving your face towards a fork anyway. So it wouldn't be any different, would it? Now, loads of things happened with NXT. This is Steve Swiss Rambling Reviews, of course. I'm allowed to ramble. I love to go rambling. Yeah, my podcast on your back, if you like. So, NXT, because we've got to talk about that. I've not really been enjoying it for the last few weeks. And this week, to go back to my food metaphor, quite tortuous, but I think it works. It's apposite, to make you lose your appetite. Yes, loads of things happen, but nothing really sticks. Apart from the last match, Trick Williams versus Noam Dar. They really turn it on. They really meld and mesh. Apart from that, you've got tons of work going on. Everyone's trying hard and stiffening their sinews and busting a gut and pulling their tripe out, to use a northern phrase. Sounds a bit disgusting. If you ever had tripe, you'll know that it is. So, let me take you through all of this action. We're straight in. There's not even any, hello, I'm Vic, what's his name, and this is Booker Thingamabob. Thingamajigglybob. So, yeah. By the way, Booker will be doing his, I like it. Oh, yeah, man, later on. Just in case you were wondering. Just in case you thought, I hope Booker T does his thing where he's not syncing with the music and it sounds terrible later. You might be thinking, if only I could go to the main event right now. Because I want to see Booker T. I want to see Booker T messing around with music. Well, you can call it music, but it isn't really. He will be doing that later on. So do not worry. I'll point it out when he does it. We first of all got Perez. That's Roxanne versus Paxley. That's Tatum. Now, Perez has got that new attitude. How dare you, Shotzi? How dare you get your shot, Shotzi? How dare you have a bad knee? Last Legend, you're okay. Not okay. She was given the shot ahead of you. Don't talk about Shotzi and then not talk about Lash. Because Lash was given the shot when you should have been asked. Do you not think? No. Why aren't they squaring this circle? It's glaringly obvious. You're not squaring, and it's glaring. So, here's Tatum fighting for her best friend, her BF. Her BBF. What's that? Is that brilliant best friend? Is it that? BBF? I don't know. Let's call her BF. So, not the BFG. That's a big friendly giant. That's a different thing entirely. But she's fighting for the honour of her BF because, as you know, if you've watched NXT or listen to this here program, very old-fashioned, Steve. I know. I like the old-fashioned way. My tash is curled. I use wax, you know. And you know that the arm of Lyra Valkyria, the champion, was really rather hurt by Roxanne Perez last week, wasn't it? Was it the week before? So she's fighting on behalf of her. There are back and forth attacks here. Perez works the arm. So, yeah, she's going back to the arm again. Yeah, it's Armageddon. Ho, 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 my word. She puts the knee on it, cranks back on it. There's a Paxley neck breaker. But really just to get Perez off her, to be honest. Then Perez gets a pop rocks straight into the crossface. It's really, that's really smooth. Dead smooth. as they say in my part of the world, dead smooth. It's a thing of beauty, actually. She gets the tap, then she rags on Lyra Valkyria. Out comes Lyra, smacks Perez with her good arm. Paxley is dispatched, but then Perez gets the crossface on the floor, grabs the belt, brandishes it, as you might expect. Now, Noam Dar can't wait for Trick, and neither can Lash. So I can't wait either. Well, you know, to fight, for you to fight him, yeah. And here comes Otis and whatever they're called. I can't remember what they're called. The Alpha Academy, that's it. Very big pop for Otis. Yeah, it's they'll be back later on. Don't worry, they're not making a flying visit. They're going to come back later. It's one of those rubs. It's one of those rubs. You know the rubs. That rub from the main roster. So you know, because NXT can't do it on their own. Now there's more veracity to that, since they've not been very good over the past few weeks, but when it started, didn't think they were needed at all. Still don't think they are, really. And I'm not really massively keen on Otis, particularly as he's kind of sidling up to Lash Legend and leering at her. She doesn't want that at all, really. Because, she's now the main squeeze of Trick, isn't she? Well, not really, but they kissed last week, didn't they? Yeah. Ooh, yeah, Trick and Legend sitting in the tree, K-I-S-S, etc., etc. Right, back in the ring, we've got, it's not in the ring, actually. First of all, we've got Ava, the general manager, the really good general manager that everyone trusts. She agrees a Perez and Lyra title match, but it's the match that everyone wants, and it's going that way, so it's not as if you've done something extraordinary, is it, Ava? I don't really think she's not been allowed to be fantastic in this role, and I don't think she has the gravitas to be able to do it. She works the long nights, you know, and she knows it's hard work, as Regal said, it'll be long nights and hard work, etc., etc. But she hasn't got the charisma for it. Anyway, out comes Briggs, calls out Femi. Here's Femi doing his sort of, you know, he's doing his I'm the best of the best bit. Briggs then calls himself out as a bad dude. Oh, he's a bad dude. Oh, I am a bad dude. If anyone's a dude who's bad, it's me. Hey, can you give us a bad dude? Oh, look, it's a picture of Briggs. That sort of thing. Doesn't do exactly that, but look up the words bad dude in the dictionary, and I'm there. That sort of thing. Yeah, he's not really over, actually, Briggs, in this. Out comes Dijak. I mean, is there anywhere he won't go to try and inject himself into a title picture? At least he's not fighting Joe Gacy this week. Joe Gacy, nowhere to be seen. There was one winner in their feud, and it weren't Dijak. No, it weren't Gacy. That's right, it was Dijak. One of these days I'll get this right, but then that would not be so beautifully funny. Okay, out comes Dijak then. He wants to have a go. They tussle. Spears watches, laughing. Leads with his chair, because he is the chairman. You don't need to do that lingering look on a chair. Shot on the chair. Double vodkas, everyone. It's not that. You don't need to do it. He's already set himself up as the chairman. Right, Axion and Frazier versus Dempsey and Miles Bourne. Because apparently, the No Quarter Catch crew can have anybody fighting for the Heritage Cup. Not the Heritage Cup, is it? Is it the Heritage Cup? It's not, though, is it? No. It's later on. That's later on, isn't it? That's right. So this is the match for the number one contender, is it? And it's Charlie Dempsey. So you know he's not fighting later on for the cup that he won. And Miles Bourne. Now, this is really rather good. So actually, I was wrong earlier. There were two good matches. But when you look at the amount of work involved in this episode, it's not a great ratio. So we've got Nathan, Frazier, and Axiom working well with Dempsey. Both of them have a go. You've got a lovely Dempsey Northern Lights suplex. great double Frazier drop kick, a really good Miles Bourne spinning power slam, and then Axiom's sliced bread and the Phoenix splash from Frazier for the pin. It was great. And I'll tell you what does great. What a segue, Steve. I know. Beautifully done. It's Stone and Von Wagner. Von Wagner. Arguing on Anonymous. Someone's just picked their conversation up and put it on Twitter or X or whatever it's now called. It's basically Stone not liking being carried out of the ring or of the arena by Von Wagner like a child last week. I think he's got a point. I'm not a child. Pass me that rusk. Now, Sol Ruka and Brinley Reese with Blade and Inoffi. I quite like the Blade and Inoffi work here. Brinley Reese is basically Thea Hale. And Thea Hale's gone back to the way she used to be. And she looks exactly like Brinley Reese. Or acts like her anyway, just with a little bit more demonstrativeness. Demonstrativeness. Before we get there, we've got... So, they're announced. And then we go to the Wolf Dogs, who are having fun with Alpha Academy. And Alpha Academy are in to get their tag team shot, which devalues the NXT tag team brand. Well done. Well done, Shawn Michaels. Where are you? You there? Shawn. Anyway, this match was all right. It's a Ruka, and she's back after a while. Headlock. But she's going to win, isn't she? That was worked. Brinley Reese hit clotheslines and a slam. Sol Ruka hits her sort of Alabama slam, and then there was a nice cutter from Ruka for the pin, and Davenport smacked her around afterwards. Blade and Inoffi looked more angry, and not angry but cheesed off with the loss than Brinley Reese did, because everything is a learning curve, you see. Yeah, okay. Ariana Grace is self-obsessed. You could have knocked me down with a feather. I never realised that. She gets a gift for Gigi Dolin, which is a sash. And she's sort of a beauty queen in training now. Are we going to see some vignettes with Rocky music? You know, I don't know. I'd rather not. And Ridge Holland is on Twitter with a message, which means absolutely nothing. Right, Lucia Crucifino used to be a judge, you know. He's not anymore, now he's a consigliere of La Famiglia. Tony D is bigging him up, saying that he's got a law degree. Well, I mean, I've got a drama degree, but doesn't mean to say I can go and direct something, does it? So he bigs him up, and then he ruins it by saying, now we got that over. What? Now I've got that over with? Come on. You've just been bigging him up, now you're acting as if it was... I just had to do it, but I'd rather not have done it, but I just had to, you know. Yeah, I was told to do it by the powers that be, and I've done it now, so there you go. Now, he says he will break Ilya. Ilya is on video, and that means it looks like he gets over. He's got one over on Tony D. Tony D has to interrupt him quite harshly. He has to jump in to assert his authority. The crowd are not quite sure who to cheer. And I know I want to cheer Ilya every day. Oh no, Ilya Dragunov every day. So another Ilya. He's a wrestler, but not quite as popular. Right, Drew Gulak versus Riley Osborne for the Heritage Cup. Now we see that the No Catch Quarter Crew can. It's a free bird rule, isn't it? They didn't mention the free bird rule because the free birds were never a WWF or WWE tag team, really. Even though, you know, they've been there as Doc Hendricks and... Who was Terry Bam Bam Gordy? Was he the executioner? I think he was, wasn't he, for a bit? Very short amount of time. But it looks like there's a free bird rule. Any one of the No Quarter Catch crew can wrestle for this belt. Or the cup. What? Why? Good match, though. Not great, but the ending was a bit poor. He's facing Riley Osborne, and Riley Osborne can do a lot. He can do a lot of athletic things, and we want to see them. So, before the match, Thea apologises to Riley Osborne, and they seem to be back on track as friends at least. And then Andre Chase and Duke Hudson just walk into shot and congratulate Thea. And it's really quite funny. It's sweet, understated, and rather nice. Anyway, they're all out to watch people. And Thea's getting overexcited because she's back to how she was before. Now, nice arm work from Drew Gulak, who can wrestle, you know that. Riley Osborne, Shooting Star Press, for the first fall. Then, in the second round, Gulak bails, hits a splash for a two count. Sudden roll up from Gulak, it's one all. Into the third round, superb Gulak, actually. The Gulak. But Riley Osborne holds on for the end of that round. And by the fourth round, we've got Nyx. Jasmine Nyx, all those whys, and like, why is she here? That sort of thing. And JC Jane get into it with Hale. Nyx then, she got involved, which helped Gulak with the pin. And I really don't want to see the Heritage Cup decided that way. But there you go. Now, Fallon Henley wants to help Jensen. But off he goes. He's not happy. You can't help me. Well, it's difficult because she went her own way. She could go her own way. And she did. And now she wants to help him. Well, no, you didn't want me then. Leave it. Jensen really is out in the cold. Yeah. But she will help because she was going to help Jensen. So she's got a gap where her help would be. So Jordan wants help against Izzy Dane, etc., etc. And she will. And apparently, according to Vic, there's a lot going on in the parking lot. There always is. I mean, it's really dangerous. Is there no risk assessment? You can't be talking and getting heartfelt and chatting with people when there's cars driving about. Now, Gallows and Anderson are here. Don't all cheer at once. Versus Hank and Tank, who took the mickey out of them last week. It's a number one contenders match. Why? Hank and Tank have been there for a long time. They deserve something. But Gallows and Anderson? Just come in. Well, you used to be a bit popular, so we're going to make sure that you get a massive push. You're number one contenders. Why? You used to be a bit popular. We're not too popular now. No, forget about that. You used to be. Yeah, but we're not going to... Used to be! Right. It's not very good, this. Well, it's good in one... For one team, and that wouldn't be Gallows and Anderson. It's a bit tough. Before we get there, we've got Thea and Duke with Ava. He butters her up. Gets a, not literally, that would be awful. Gets a number one contender match for the North American belt. I mean, that'd be quite interesting because Obafemi is massive and so is Duke Hudson. I'm interested in that. And Hale will get a match with Jasmine Nyx. Otherwise, like, why are they getting a match together? Oh, God. So back in the ring, we've got Tank and Hank attacking early on. Gallows tossed... And then double-teamed, Anderson double-teamed. So Gallows is tossed out of the ring. Anderson's double-teamed, that's what I really meant. You've got a Hank suplex. Gallows chops. Tank is thrown off the top to the floor. Gallows hits some big punches. There's an Anderson headlock, which he's worked. And Hank desperately needs the tag. He gets that hot tag. Takes both of them down. But there's a spinebuster into the Magic Killer for the wholly expected Gallows and Anderson boring win. I have never liked this tag team. I didn't see them in their Bullet Club prime, but I saw them afterwards in a lot of different federations and promotions, and I've never liked them one bit, and I still don't. I probably am in the minority, but I like it here. Bit cold at times, but there you go. And it's Trick versus Noam time, everybody, is your main event. Trick is doing his promo to us. I mean, he's been interviewed, isn't he? But he does his promo to us. He's not referring. You're talking to someone, Trick. Don't look over at us. It's really disrespectful. Perez is in the car park, chatting. Oh, I don't know. Everyone's working in the car park tonight, aren't they? And then there's Henley and Jordan fighting Izzy Dane and Kiana James. Oh, I don't know. Right, let's get back to the ring. Dark gets an arm lock, a back punch, and a kind of octopus. Vic then tells us that someone is literally over the moon. I didn't catch who it was because I was so busy rolling my eyes at that phrase. Literally over the moon. I literally died. You didn't know, did you? Because you're here speaking to me, aren't you? Can I get? No, you can't get. Because you'd be working there, you fool. Right, back in the ring. We get a trick pop-up uppercut. Pop-up uppercut. Pop-up uppercut. Dar bails, of course, and then comes back into cinch in a sleeper. There is a trick powerbomb for a two count. A long Dar leg lock. But Trick's back with a huge uranage, massive kick. And then Lash goes to distract Trick, and you think they're going to lip lock again, but she goes to punch him. Then there's a Dar distraction, German suplex. Trick, of course, wins. He's not going to lose, is he? Dar can lose because he's that arrogant heel. Trick can't lose because he's on the way up. I think he did it with the kick. I wasn't really interested. And then out comes Mello with security to distract. They beat him up a bit and leave it to Mello to finish the attack. Oh, he's a nasty one, that Mello. He's using wrestling tropes to bore us so that we sleep through all of his matches. And this wasn't really very good. Quite a lot of it was very poor. A lot of it was inconsequential, and they put a lot of work into that, so it's a real shame. And we put a lot of work into patreon.com/SNME radio. And although we put a lot of work in, the results are blooming marvellous. Not necessarily this podcast or the Portland one that I do, but the other podcasts, wrestling and pop culture, they're great. And if you were thinking I might want to pay a little bit of money for that, I don't mind paying money for quality. It's about $1 a week. And it is quality. It's chock full of quality. You couldn't get any more quality in there. They've had to build a quality annex. That's how good it is. But this was not quality. They worked really hard for no good effect. Well, for very small good effect. And that is just not enough. Ta-ta.